This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto here. And yes, we're going to have coffee with Carm and a coach. And oh, by the way, I just want you to let you see that this is fresh. You know I'm a coffee drinker. You see me drink coffee for the last 10 years. And I thought, I interview so many coaches in the industry. Why don't we just segment this out every month? Every time I talk to a coach, we'll just call it Coffee with Carm and a Coach. Anyway, my guest, who will be coming up here in a minute, is Murray Voth from RPM Training. I'm so excited to have Murray here as my first Coffee with Carm. Not that Murray's been on 20, 30 times in the past. Don't forget, we're going to be out at the TST Big Event Saturday, March 28th. Tracy and I in Tarleton, New York. Here from educators Andrew Fisher, Ken Zanders, Adam Roberts. Go to tstseminars.org and sign up for this one-day technician training. And hear from the keynoter, Tracy Capriotto. She's going to do that there. I'm so excited for her. And don't forget, for your smartphone, the Automotive Repair Podcast app, the ultimate professional automotive repair playlist. Save your favorites, build a category library, share anything with your friends. AutomotiveRepairPodcastNetwork.com/app. And thank you so much to all of our great partners for over the years that make this show available to you for free. Hey, take your NAPA Auto Care Center to the next level with the NAPA Auto Care Gold Certified Program. Increase car count, build trust with customers, and stand out as one of the best. Talk to your local NAPA representative today. Hey, for over 30 years, NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Murray, so glad to have you here. So what if employee reviews are actually hurting engagement instead of helping it? Today, we're talking about why reviews need a rebrand and what replaces them. And keep this in mind, everyone. Most employee reviews were designed for a different era, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Now, today, they often feel more like a formality than a strategy or a force for growth, Murray. And so what if the problem isn't the people, but the process and or even what we call it?
Yes. Yeah. We're going to change some language again, Carm, which, you know, you love.
Yes, we are, Murray. Thank you for grabbing on to that. And I know that you are big on this. In fact, just before we got on here, Murray is on with one of his clients talking this whole thing. So it's fresh in your mind. Where do we go from here? What do we start doing?
Well, let's always ask the question, why? I think we should be better at that. Why should we do reviews? What is the purpose of a review? What are we trying to achieve? These are kind of all kind of why questions, I guess, in a way. And at the end of the day, I'm going to suggest that what we're trying to do accomplish is having an engaged group of people working together that want to be there. They want to grow together. They want to learn. They want to achieve the vision that the organization, the company has set out to do. And reviews are just a part of creating that employee engagement along with culture, which is, you know, a real hot topic these days in business as well, right? So on the outset, two negative things that we want to put away in the past. One is, in our industry, shop owners don't come from HR backgrounds. They don't come from business backgrounds. So they get asked to do reviews or by their coach or by somebody. They don't know how to do it. So they're nervous. So they put it off. They are afraid that it's going to be negative in confrontation. It's possible that if they work for a larger company as a technician, because most of them probably were or are, that they had a really bad experience with an employee review working at a dealership or a large brand chain store or something like that. And so we have this whole negative piece about this is a formal way to beat up my employees. Let's just be blunt. That's what the perception is.
Yeah, you sit and listen. Let me tell you what's on my mind. And I was upset 4 weeks ago that you did something strange and I really never covered it. And you sit there and you listen and I know What if we called it a career alignment meeting?
Well, that's a good one. The people that I've been following in another world of HR, she actually, I have her on retainer. A lot of, she does all the HR work for my clients. She just calls them one-on-ones.
Ah, I love that.
So let's just have a one-on-one. But before we get there, Carl, there's one other negative thing that I want to set aside. I still saw somewhere on LinkedIn a company that was doing 360 employee reviews, which means that everybody that you work with, report to, work with, reviews you without in the room, submits it all to somebody who then meets with you and tells you how you're seen by everybody that you work with. It has been around for over 10 years that 360 reviews are a great opportunity to backstab, set people aside, and climb over the corporate ladder. They don't work. They're ugly. So we need to get away from having employees review employees. There's a place for conversations between people. And if our time allows it, we might get to that. All right. Carm, do you have any other questions before I launch into a three-part sermon?
Listen, Father Murray, you do this. Coffee with Carm and a coach. Murray, just drop it. Let's go.
So I want to add one more thing to your beautiful logo. Coffee with Carm and a coach and a cookie. We should have a picture of a chocolate chip cookie there.
Wait a minute. Were you following me around today? Because Tracy walked in to the office today with a bag of oatmeal raisin cookies, my favorite. And I was going to bring one down. So you just nailed it. Oh my God, that is too funny. All right, Marie, go ahead.
Let's take a look and step back a little bit in terms of what a lot of employees are looking for. Now, we talk about the generations and stuff like that. And yes, there are key differences. You know, Sarah Fraser, great shout out to her, does a lot of great work with generational conversations, right? But we have to remember that we're human beings and a lot of us actually want the same thing. We just verbalize it differently. So if we talk about an employee, we'll talk about the employers in a second. I believe from reading, research, experience that they want a safe place to work. They want a place to develop and grow. They want to get better at what they do. They want to be able to improve their role. So again, some small companies, it's a bit harder, but they want to grow in their opportunity for roles, careers, you know, back to your career term, right? Career development or career improvement conversation. And they, of course, they want to make more money, but they also want to understand, how do I make more money here? Now, that's assuming that these employees are having the vocabulary or the life experience to phrase it the way I'm phrasing it. A lot of them, especially the younger ones, won't phrase it exactly that way, right? They'll say things like, I've been bullied or I've been triggered. Or they'll say things like, you know, they'll get the nerve up to ask for a raise or whatever. You know, the wording might not come out as, you know, we're public speakers, you and I, we can do this easily, right? We've been doing this for a while. So they might phrase things differently. So here's what the conversation that I want to have with everybody. Is we've been using the employer review in the past to patch all of our past HR mistakes, to fix what we haven't done well up until that point. And we also have to separate what the conversations are about. So let me walk through a great whole process, all right? You have an opening for a position in your company. Number one, does that position, I call them positional agreements, has it been documented? This is what the position does. This is the outcomes, the results it creates. These are the specific certifications and training that is required. There is no name attached to this position. It is just a position. And so what we do is we hire to the position. Is this person a fit to what we're looking for? As opposed to Carm and I start talking about oatmeal cookies or about fishing or about Labatt's beer. Next thing you know, we're best friends and I hire him. And 6 months later, I can't stand the guy because he's just like me, right? He's got the same weaknesses as I do, right? We've all done that where we've hired somebody like us. We hate them 6 months later. And so what we're trying to do is have a position created. So that right away, clarify. Now that can change. That can be adjusted and adapted over time. Have that created. Then you advertise to that position. All the advertising marketing for that position is worded to attract the person that fits that. Then the interviewing, which is a whole nother episode, the interviewing technique is on how to elicit the right human being you're trying to get to work at your company. Not so much the 20 years experience on the front counter, 5 years at GM, all of that, but things like a question that I have an interview that an academic friend of mine has helped me create. Have you ever been late for work? And you ask and you listen for the response and how it's responded to. There's another question in there. Well, like say, for example, it's a technician you're looking for. Describe a tough diagnostic or a testing procedure or a testing issue that you had on a vehicle. You know, how did you approach it? How did you handle it? They have to think a little bit and talk about the 2019 Chevy pickup, that water in the taillight. They have to sort of walk through. You listen to how they respond. You're listening for victim mentality or, you know, what is it? What I can't think of the opposite of victim mentality, but right now at the top of my head. But you know what I'm saying? You're listening for somebody who takes charge of their own problem or somebody who blames other people. So then you interview the person to see if they're a good fit for the position. Now it gets fun. Onboarding, right? 1980 style of onboarding. Carm, that's where your toolbox goes. Here's your first oil change.
Yeah, good luck. I hired somebody. What's that guy's name? 4 weeks later, what's that guy's name I hired?
Right. So there's great resources available online. You know, AI, you know, all of us are using it a bit more. Onboarding, right? Even things like all the legal HR stuff, contractual, employee handbook, but where the washrooms are, where the change rooms are, how do the uniforms work? Meeting your coworkers, right? Having introductions around the place with everybody. And then, you know, onboarding on how we use the hoist. And even if somebody's got 20 years experience, we onboard them on how we do things here. In their first 2 weeks of working, we've walked through how we use the equipment and all that kind of stuff. Because one of the things we joked about in one of my groups this morning was the phrase that an employee says, well, that's not how we did it at my last job.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I keep thinking of the word process or protocols that we have in our business that this individual, and yeah, if the business crashes, that's because the individual hasn't conformed to your culture.
Right? So we need to onboard to the culture. The other stuff is details, like, right, in terms of approach to cars and stuff like that, right? So there's that culture piece. I'm getting to the reviews here in a moment. So then you've onboarded them, and then there's a training plan, right? So everybody is signed up for training. We assess their needs, whatever role they have in the company. So we have a training plan. And you and I have done, I think we've done an episode on meetings, right? We have a daily toolbox meeting. We have a weekly meeting over basic KPIs. Then we have a monthly meeting that's a bit broader discussion. Regular meetings happen all the time, regardless of who shows up. A culture, right, of positivity in these meetings. Now, think of everything that we have removed now. The person knows what the position is. They've been onboarded to the position. They've been working there. We now, 90 days in after the probationary period is about to end, or 89 days in Canada, it's 90 days, but I always recommend 89 so that if you can't make it to work one day because you're sick, you don't own that employee, you can already start the review process.
You can call it a development check-in.
Yeah, right. Now, we have to also think about the two sides of this conversation. There's the business needs, and then there's the employee needs. So a lot of my impression that shop owners think of as training is training from outside people. So bringing on some of the great technical trainers that you have in your network or bringing on one of us coaches for training. But what about the owner doing training? The owner themselves training the team in this process or processor. I always get mixed up with my Canadian English. The idea here is we don't need to review as much of the employee's performance because that's already being checked in with all the daily and weekly meetings. Those conversations are already being had, like in a group setting or one-on-one if need be.
I got to stop you for a moment. I think it's a brilliant idea to say that the owner's got some responsibility to size of the shop, general managers, you know, scaling, but that the owner can't listen, go find out from Charlie how we do this or learn from the guys and the girls at the counter how we do workflow and assignments. And no, it's like, I guess you're 100% right. Owner owns it.
There's all this talk of SOPs, like the conversations about SOPs and process and protocols and all that kind of stuff. Well, who teaches it? I have yet to hear anybody in a conversations, well, some of my clients are doing this, is they work together with the team to develop the SOPs, and then the owner trains them. This is how we do things. Here's the why of why we're doing it, right? Here's the intention of this SOP. And here's the thing, right? A lot of owners are uncomfortable with public speaking, even though it might only be a team of five they're speaking to. That is the biggest area of growth for owners in terms of the ability to speak and train their team, all right? So now you've eliminated the need for this 20-page employee review about how they're performing on this and that and that and that and that and that and that and that, because that's already been overall should have been dealt with. So I'm going to jump ahead and then we're going to go backwards a little bit so that our audience gets a sense of where I'm going with this. Talked about this wonderful woman named Sophia. She's got this company called Upskill Consulting. She's been a guest with us in our groups. And then she does, for a fee, she does their employee handbooks and the rest of it. And she's just brilliant with this topic. And she calls them one-on-ones. And she has a little bit more of an elegant way of saying things, but I'm going to say it the way I've sort of interpreted it. So let's say, Carm, we create a culture where you and I meet once a year or we meet twice a year. We're finding some group members are doing it quarterly now, where we have a one-on-one and three questions are on the agenda. Only three. Question number one, Carm, is there anything that we are doing as a company that you would like us to stop? And then you and I dialogue about that. Question number two, is there anything that we are doing as a company that you would like us to do more of? And question number three, Carm, is there anything that we're not doing as a company that you would like us to do? And you have a dialogue.
Are you an App Auto Care Center ready to elevate your shop? Then it's time to step into the premier tier NAPA Auto Care Gold Certified program. Gold Certified Centers are recognized as the best of the best, delivering a consistent, trusted customer experience nationwide. Now, that consistency means more repeat business, more referrals, and more opportunities to grow your car count. Now, when you're Gold Certified, you unlock advanced resources, maximizing technology, boosting your local marketing presence, and keeping your team fully trained on the latest trends and tools. In short, Gold Certified status separates you from the rest. So what does it take to be Gold? To qualify, your shop must be a NAPA Auto Care Center for at least 1 year, have been open for 2 years or more, employ an ASE Master Technician or hold ASE Blue Seal status, co-brand with the Pro Image Program, maintain a 4-star rating or higher on Google, Yelp, or NAPA CSI, use digital vehicle inspections, offer NAPA consumer financing, purchase $7,500 or more in NAPA parts monthly, and participate in a NAPA business development group. It's a true partnership, and in return, NAPA rewards Gold Certified shops with premium benefits like free priority placement on the NapaOnline.com locator, annual marketing funds, enhanced warranties, rebates, training opportunities, and a whole lot more. Are you ready to take your shop to the gold level? Well, contact your local NAPA sales representative today to see if you qualify and start your journey to Gold Certified. Increase car count. Build trust with customers and stand out as one of the best. Talk to your local NAPA representative today. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NAPATRAX was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NAPATRAX offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on-site. Yep, on-site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that TRAX is the single best shop management system in the business. NAPATRAX is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NAPATRAX, that's NAPATRACS.com. It's the employees meeting, basically. Is the owner going to just sit there and listen or have a dialogue?
I think it's going to take practice. I think we're going to have to learn to listen. I believe we're going to have to learn to have a dialogue. And then this is where this skill comes in that's going to take some practice. And we'll get to some more detail here in a minute for the owner side of things, is I think that's going to open up conversations about the employee's needs, but also about maybe some of the things that they're not bringing to the table. So they might ask for something, and then you might be able to have an opportunity and say, hey, you know, that's interesting that you bring that up, because two other people have brought up something similar from a different point of view, but that's very similar that they need from the company as well. And I realize that maybe I need to help each, you guys talk to each other about this, right? So something that that employee needs to change to improve with their interaction with these other two people, right? I guess I should be have prepared a couple more examples of that. But we're talking about, and maybe the, where we rephrase it a little bit is, are there any obstacles to getting your job done or accomplished?
Murray, I got to stop you for a moment, because I think my big takeaway in this thought pattern of yours is, if you can learn to sit on your hands and just continue to ask why? So if anything, to stop, and that person that you're doing this interview with, you're one-on-one, well, why? You have a level of curiosity. You got to be taking some notes, but the individual can dive deep into things and maybe let you realize that where they came from, they were doing a few things weird, but they're comfortable with it, and they would rather like the short version than the long version that we're doing. I don't think, is it a time to explain why we do what we do, or do you just want to sit and listen?
Well, I would say we listen first, document, and, you know, but then I would say, you know, this is a natural, well, I don't know, I've practiced this for a lot of years as a coach, but this is where you learn to ask more, like you said, the questions. So let's just use an example, Carmen. Let's say, for example, you have brought up to me that you don't like the way the parts distribution's working. We have a bin system. We have a purchase order number on the work order, and my bin is bin number 3. And you say to me, Murray, I don't like walking. I'm in the farthest bay across the way, and I don't like walking all the way to get my parts. You know, is it possible that we could have a bin system across on the other side of the shop? And then you say, well, you know, that's actually a good idea. Let's make the service advisors walk. And that way the parts are right by you, right? So then that one's evolved right there. But let's say, for example, you don't have the space for the bin system to be on this side. Maybe you've only got 4 bays and there's no space to put another set of shelves up for the parts to be brought over to you. You can say, so is there a reason why that bugs you that you have to walk across there? Well, you keep telling me that, you know, I'm supposed to be more efficient and I'm supposed to get my job done faster. Yet, you know, I feel like I have to walk all the way across the shop to get my parts. Whereas the guy closest to the parts, you know, he can naturally be faster. Then you can say, well, I appreciate the fact that you're worried about your efficiency and your productivity, Carm. At the end of the day, you know that your numbers are actually pretty good. I wasn't actually worried about it that much. I understand that you have to walk further for the parts, but here's some other areas that you're actually stronger at. Or we have a discussion about the hoist layout. Maybe we need to reassign the one person that does a lot of the heavier work, like a different bay. And we discuss, you know, why don't we move that toolbox there, your toolbox here, but let's have a dialogue with that other technician, right? We're kind of spitballing at this point, but the idea is the conversation comes up, they can bring objections and we can say, well, here's how we see it. And then the dialogue begins.
And I'll bet you, if you decide to carve out 15 minutes for a 3-question ask or a 4-question ask, it's going to go on for an hour. If your employee, and it doesn't matter if this is a new employee after, you know, 35, 40, 60 days, or it's a legacy lifetime because you changed the format of this and now you're really, you're deep into the pool. Why? What's going on? What do I need to know? Obstacles and all that stuff. I got to stop for 1 minute and say this. Great idea when the purchase order is sent up to the parts store with obviously the RO number on it. There's another number at the back side of that, and that's the number of the bay. When the delivery person comes in and they know your bay layout, they're going to bring the parts directly to that bay or that specialist. And the signature is going to come from inside. But hey, I dropped them off at Johnny's place, because drivers get to know your people. Drivers get to know your layout. It's a quick way to shortcut that. I get why it all needs to be in a central place. I really get that, because somebody wants to observe that all the parts are here. But I love drivers dropping them off in the bays. I think that's a cool idea.
Yeah. And there's multiple systems that people are using for that. Some people have a central bin system. Some people have shelving spread out throughout the shop. I know 2 shops that have shelving right beside each technician's workbench, and it's brought right to them. And again, they have the space for that ability to do that. So
I get it. These are great ideas.
The other question that came up today and comes up very often in this conversation is the wage review. There's this assumption on the part of a lot of business owners that the employee review is also at the time of the wage review. Like, so Carm, here's a list of five things that you need to improve on. And if you improve on these, I'll give you a raise. Or what do you think you need to improve on, Carm? And, you know, right? Employees will generally grade themselves higher than they actually are. We tend to grade themselves lower than we actually think, right? So that whole grading piece, I don't think works really, really well. Now, I have a couple of clients that have proved me wrong with what I'm going to say next, but they have a culture in which they can, a context in which they can prove me wrong. I feel that the wage review is a separate conversation from the check-ins that we just talked about, right? The one-on-ones that we talked about.
Specifically and only wage review.
Correct, right? Now, the reason for that is I want to be able to have a conversation about your concerns and even about your performance without money hanging over our conversation.
I get it.
There's a piece of their brain is going, oh no, am I going to get a raise? They're not even thinking about the conversation. They're just thinking about, is the word raise going to be in this conversation? As opposed to, and again, people do this differently, once a year, twice a year. I like twice a year. It spreads it out a little bit, where you sit the person down with a set of KPIs that they have control over, they've been trained on, they've been engaged with, they can teach you back how they have control over these KPIs, and then you can talk about how they're going to get a raise or how they could earn a raise, right? It could be productivity, efficiency, build hours per technician per day. You know, we don't have to get too carried away on KPIs. There's lots of other episodes with numbers that your guests have done, right?
We could call that a metrics review.
Yeah.
And metrics have everything to do with also with wages. It's numbers.
So we have a development review, career development review, and we have a metrics review. Now, one client this morning does them at the same time, but the employees, he's got them where they're engaged. Like his culture, he's worked very hard the last few years at it, where it works, right? They have the dialogue about how all that all works in that place. But generally, I find initially, it's important to separate them. Now, this leads to, and I don't want to go off in the weeds with incentives and bonuses and stuff like that, because that's, you know, a slippery slope. But what I do want to say is we need to have a plan so that our employees understand how raises work, when and how they work, so that they're not just left hanging, thinking about when can I bring up a raise or when does it come up? They will know that every January the 15th and July the 15th, they're going to have that meeting. They know that they've been told that on the onboarding process that this is how it works. All right. So at Christmas time or the holidays is fraught for a lot of people. It's a really happy time for a segment of people, and it's a very sad time for a segment of people. I remember back when I was an employee at a company. One year I received a $200 bonus, which is a lot of money back in the late 80s, early 90s. And the next year I got a Starbucks coffee mug and I was confused.
I understand. What did I do wrong?
And so we need to separate the end of the year holiday celebration piece from the business piece. So if you, and by the way, everybody listening, you're going to do this your way. This is not, I'm not going to judge you. I'm just laying out some of the pitfalls that happen if you are not careful, right? If you want to give your employees a Christmas bonus, right, that is unrelated to their performance, that's fine. That's a gift. Some shops have moved away from a Christmas bonus dollar-wise, and they've put on a nice celebration with a food basket or, you know, some kind of a gift shopping cart or whatever to a grocery store. And then in January, they review the year or they wherever their fiscal year is and they review that. And then they do bonusing and they do structures around that whole piece, right? So the idea being is I think we need to separate the rewarding process. There's the gift, as in we're celebrating the holidays. Here's a gift from us to you. And then we separate that from incentives, bonuses, and other payouts and raises aren't part of a business conversation. I think that really helps clarify things for owners and for employees about the emotional side of that whole piece. Just because we finished, you know, we're just on the other side of that hill of the holidays, right? Is a thought that wants to be.
I love it. What I'm hearing from you, Murray, is thematic. Every sit down and say it is quarterly has a different theme to it. And you know exactly when you're going to talk money Now, maybe that's not a great idea, but maybe it is. And I love the concept of the metrics review, even if it's more than twice a year, because even though they may be public or, you know, everybody can see and share, depending on how transparent an owner is, Murray, I imagine that the more an individual knows what raise time or wage increase time is, they shouldn't have a problem knowing what's going to happen.
Obviously, business dictates how much of a raise, like, you know, because sometimes it's not the employee's performance, it's overall business atmosphere, other challenges that the business might have. You know, the business might have an unexpected expense. You know, a new law has changed. Now they have to pay more for some other fee or whatever, right? There's things, business decisions that have to happen. But the clarity, now I have people that I've worked with over the years, you know, in different contexts. I have to be careful what I say because there's people that know people who I know, et cetera, right? So I'm going to be a little diplomatic here.
Yes, sir. I understand.
You know, working with some younger employees of companies, the owners are walking around talking about, oh, things are tough this month. Or, you know, if we don't reach this, we won't reach our profit goals. And the employee, being a caring, engaged person, begins to take on the stress of that owner. And I think that is really inappropriate for owners to be walking around talking about how bad it is. I mean, let's talk about how good it is, but then there should be a direct connection to the employee's remuneration at that point too. But this idea of being so transparent about how the business is in front of your people, I don't think is fair to them because they're not always as financially sophisticated or business sophisticated where they understand that this is a temporary downturn or a temporary challenge that the business is facing.
That's so interesting. I think it's heavy on both sides. Some like to be transparent. They want to teach, you know, where the money goes.
But how are you doing that? All right. So if you have a culture where you are very transparent and there's a set of numbers that everybody sees, and I know people that show everything, right? I have clients that show everything right to the net, and they have those conversations. They're mature, guided conversations about the reality of where they're at. I got no issue with that. Where I have an issue is a shop owner who barely understands their own numbers, is not doing regular reporting, is behind on their books with their accountant, and is walking around because their checking account's low, walking around going, oh my goodness, business is really slow this month, or man, I'm stressing out. They're dumping their own BS on their people. That's what I meant.
There's just no way that should happen. I mean, I would want to sit down with an individual and ask them the why question. Why are you doing this? What empathy are you looking, or sympathy are you looking for? These are squarely your problems. I don't think your people, wow, okay, well, I got to leave. This place is going nowhere. I got to go find another job. I mean, the connotation of something like that is just terrible. Now, I'm not saying that the business being transparent could be, something could have happened. Road closure, you know, dam, hurricane, whatever. Those are the things that challenge a business. But you don't seep in the negative because, hey, we're going to pull out of this thing, everyone. We're going to pull together. You know where we're going and how we're going to get there.
Oh, yeah. Like, we're not going to be hide or be Pollyannish. But what I'm saying is we're going to do it appropriately, structured.
I love that word.
With a plan, you know, moving forward on how, and ask them for solutions too. Like, once they understand the problem, ask them for solutions because there is knowledge and wisdom in your team as well.
Hey, look, before you keep going, we're with Murray Voth, RPM Training. We're talking, are employees' reviews broken? And I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. Listen, I always have coaches on, but I've decided to call this thing Coffee with Carm and a Coach. And we're going to start doing these monthly, specifically with coaches, even though I just do this all the time. I just want to kind of narrow cast this down and have people tune in to hear the wisdom from all the coaches that I know in the industry. Okay, I had to do a little mini commercial for you there.
All right, fantastic. Well, a mini commercial, this is amazing. So the nagging question that might still remain, you know, we've done developmental conversation, career development. We've done the metric conversation. Where do we have that conversation about, you know, improving their performance or improving what they're doing? There's no reason why we can't do those ad hoc. Like, in other words, we see an issue. It's not a review. It's a training opportunity. We have to separate it. And maybe it's just semantics, but for me, it's like, hey, Carm, I'd love to talk to you about something here. If, you know, between your next two cars, come, you know, we'll have a little chat about it. And then you just go through the thing that you wanted to talk about, right? This is an area that I had a lot of growth when I was young in business. I didn't like, I still don't. I can deal with it now. I've got the maturity, but I didn't like confrontation. I wanted to be a nice guy. I wanted to be liked. I didn't want to be negative to my employees. And so then I would delay dealing with stuff, right? I'd be walking through the shop, you know, from parking in the back and going to my office, and I'd see something going, you know, and I'd be like, I got to get to my desk and finish this. So I would avoid that. I would say, I'll deal with it later. Of course, I wouldn't deal with it. And then something else would happen 4 days later. And all of a sudden, 3 weeks in, I yell at somebody, right? I lose my temper.
Murray explodes.
And it wasn't good. So I did get some help with that and learn to step in again. But let's circle back to, let's say a person is doing a process incorrectly. Now, I'm going to use an example that I may have used somewhere in our episodes, Karm, but I think it's worth repeating because it's so real and so much fun for me. So a client in conversation in his group talked about this young junior employee who was doing the wheel balancing, like for a winter tire changeover, right? So this is in the fall doing that. He had delegated to his technicians to train this new young apprentice on how to do wheel balancing, all that kind of stuff. Now, part of the process of preparing a wheel to balance it is to clean it, right? If you have mud or accumulation of stuff inside that rim and you put it on a balancer, you might balance it now, but if some of that mud breaks off later, it'll be out of balance. And so you're supposed to wash the rims, right, before you balance them. So my good friend walks by this young fella. The wheels are not wet. They're dry. They're on the balancer. And he snaps at him and says, how come you didn't wash them? And the young fella said, well, they look good to me. Now, that's the story I heard, right? The complaining about these young people today, da, 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 da. So I asked the owner, I said, go back and ask the kid why he has to wash the rims. What do you mean? You got trained. I said, no, go back and ask him. Why does he have to wash the rims? And he had never been taught why he was washing the rims. He thought it was cosmetic. All right. So here's a young person who got yelled at. He said it was fixed, but who got yelled at because the training gap in terms of why they were actually doing something was missing. I'm learning lessons as a coach after doing this for so many years. And I have now added some more layers to some tools that we use in RPM. And this is have you ever heard of Bloom's taxonomy? The whole learning process, teaching process and stuff like that. So I've taken Bloom's and a couple of other things that I don't remember the names of. And I now have a list of about 80 things that my clients need to self-assess themselves at. Okay. So question one is, I have taken training on this topic. Okay. Green, yellow, red. They have a toggle in the sheet to tell. Okay. Number two, I understand this concept and can explain it to my coach in my own words. So in other words, as an employee, as an apprentice, I can explain in my own words to the head technician, to my boss, why I have to wash the rims. Okay. So we're asking them, teach us back to us, teach me back, right? Number three, I know how to implement or apply this knowledge, right? Because it's one thing to know the theory. It's another thing to physically or mentally do it. Number four, this concept is implemented or this process is implemented or whatever. My employee's now doing it successfully. And number five, we have evaluated this concept when appropriate. So if you think about the 5 points, when somebody's not doing something right, question number one is, have they had the training? Question number two is, can they teach you back in their own words what it is that you're asking them to do? Number three, can they demonstrate that they understand the implementing it, taking the theory and actually doing it in real life? And then a little check, yes or no, is it done? And then number five is, has it evaluated? So many times when people aren't performing or doing or do something different or whatever is because they haven't had the training. Or they may have had the training, but don't want to comply, which is we have to be ready for those conversations back to the why. So is there a reason why you feel you need to continue to do it this way?
You know, Murray, Should business be this sophisticated? I'm being a little sarcastic because you and I and everyone in the top tier of our industry knows this is how business needs to be done today.
Let's address that from the standpoint of the blue-collar tradespeople that are generally listening to us. All right? I'm hoping that in our audience, there are people that had a great experience as an apprentice slash junior technician with a mentor or a journey person. All right? Like we have the formal apprenticeship program in Canada. You know, there's ASC in the States. There's other things. So if you think about that mentor-mentee relationship or that, you know, shop foreman or that journey person and apprenticeship relationship, there's a formal relationship there. And that journey person is walking you through the tasks and the skills and repeating and repeating and showing you the best way and showing you the tips and the tricks and the hacks. It's already happening, Carm. The good tradespeople are passing on their knowledge to the new tradespeople. They're not using the same formal language that we're using. There might be quite a bit of salty language mixed in there, right? But it's already been around for centuries where there's been good mentors and people learning from those mentors. What's happened is, in our industry specifically, because that's the one I know, is a lot of these people then went on to be owners and began to feel the financial stress of business ownership. And then without the lack of, without the formal training about psychology and how people work, they begin to push and shove and bully people because that's just how they think they have to do to get the business to be profitable. Or if they had a negative, so here's the other thing, Karma, is for all the ones that had a negative experience, they're going to do karma is a, you know, whatever. And they're going to teach their apprentice. They're going to beat up on their apprentices the way they got beat up on. The number of times I have heard a journey technician say, these young people got to toughen up because you should have seen what I went through, has to stop. We have to stop the hazing. We have to stop the bullying. At the end of the day, it's really, yes, there are some psychology pieces that you need to understand. But at the end of the day, it doesn't have to be that complicated, right? Like, is there anything that we need to improve on? Is there anything that we're doing you'd like us to stop? Is there anything that you'd like us to continue to do? It's pretty simple, three questions, right? And then the other five that I just listed, has the person been trained? Can they explain it in their own words? Can they demonstrate that they can implement it? Has it been implemented, right? And have we evaluated it? That's eight things.
Wow, very, very heavy. I mean, you've got this thing really, you've done so much research on this, not only on the review thing, but getting in deeper as to how people are going to respond to your leadership. I mean, that great story. What about washing the wheel? I can only think that if I was an owner, what could I take back with this? It was a now moment. Think about that. It was a now moment that you cannot let fester go away. That individual didn't do the job that they were asked to do, never were taught to do. Then that person will continue to do nothing because you didn't create this now moment. Hey, now let's talk about this. What I'm saying is a leader, maybe if you think about as you do management by walking around and you hang with your people and you're observing and you're doing all these things, in the back of your mind, is there a now moment that we can have to teach, to share, to understand? You know, again, hey, Bob, come over here and explain to Charlie why we wash. And maybe when you teach, you learn. And now somebody becomes a part. Hey, thank you so much for telling me about this. So this now moment opportunity, I love it.
Well, you just said a key phrase that hasn't come up yet. When you teach, you learn. That owner has to teach all this stuff. And as they're teaching, they're going to go, oh, that sounds like crap. Or, oh, I just heard myself say that. And that is, there's so much power in it. And Carm, I have been teaching and training for 30 years, and I still have aha moments, you know, weekly of concepts and stuff that I've been working with. And when you teach, you learn because, you know, and something else that you said is that feeling that a person gets when they learn something and it's not that, you know, here's a better way. I'm going to use one from outside our industry, a personal experience, one of the happiest, funnest days of my life. I did my commercial pilot's license many, 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 many years ago. In my early flying private pilot's license, there's a thing that you do in airplanes called a steep turn. As you go into a steep turn, the nose wants to go down. You have to pull back on the yoke. right, and add power to stay steady. Well, I could not keep an airplane in level flight in a steep turn. I was challenged, right? My regular instructor had a bad cold. I had a substitute named Rick. We take off, we go to the practice area, and Rick says to me, Murray, anything you're having trouble with? And I'm like, yes, steep turns. He said, show me how you're doing them. So I showed him, and he said, what is the tool that you use to relieve the pressure off the control surfaces? Oh, the trim wheel is a little wheel that you turn. He's like, okay, try again. Trim it. And literally, we took our hands off the controls. It was stable air, and we were going in steep turn circles when the airplane was level. And somebody asked me what I was having trouble with, got me to show them how I was doing it incorrectly. And then just by giving me the hint of the tool or the part of the airplane I should be using, because I hadn't thought all the steps through. I was pretty early in this career. Carm, the feeling of joy and satisfaction of 45 years ago still comes to me when I think of Rick and that day. I use that example all the time.
Thank you for that inspiring story. And I'm going to make a change to what I said just a few minutes ago. Remember I said a now moment? Now I want to change it to a discovery now moment, because that's what happened to you. You discovered by someone giving you listen, I want to help Murray out. I'm going to give him a discovery. And he now has a now moment. It may sound like three words that don't work together, but in the story of cleaning and washing the wheels, this is a discovery moment. It may not be a now, a discovery moment now. Maybe that's what we need to say. I'm sorry I'm kind of clouding this thing up with words, but I think people, if they can, oh my God, that makes sense. And then they own it, buy it, and do it. Own it, buy it, do it.
Yeah. And for technicians, I mean, this works for advisors, managers, it works for any role possible. But even in my circle, Carm, where, you know, we have people on different brands of shop management software, one person will talk about a challenge they're having with, and the other person will be, well, let me show you on the share screens. Let me show you. We use Slack. Thank you for the inspiration a few years ago. We have Slack chat with all of our clients. We have channels. And without using the names of the, because I'm agnostic to the brands until I'm cornered in a corner, right? Not publicly, of the different brands of SMS. But we have the five main brands used by my clients, and they can chat with each other about challenges with the software. And many times he's like, oh, jeepers, I had no idea that was there. The rep never taught me that, right? And so I'm already watching this with my clients doing that with each other. I could just imagine a second-year apprentice who is struggling to release a really tight fastener or whatever, and the technician walks over and says, hey, let me show you how to use an impact or how to use this or how to use that. Here's some things that I've learned that have really helped me with that. And that discovery moment, how good that person's going to feel. And the next time they can do that job by themselves without that help, I think is going to really engage people.
Wow. I mean, where do we go? I mean, we're already 49 minutes in to this employee reviews are broken, and we went to a million different little side hustles, and I love them. But I think we've got the message out there. This isn't you sit down once a year and talk wages. This is an employee reviews can almost be ongoing. I mean, I'd love to be scheduled. I get that. I love the idea. We can have them. They could be growth conversations, performance partnerships, career alignment meetings. You can call them whatever you want, or you can have separate ones, no matter where they go. And let that employee, that team member, realize that four times a year, you're getting together with the manager and or the CEO of the business to talk stuff. Now, the leader, to your point earlier, has got to know how to dive into those three questions and dig them deeper with the why question. And I'm telling you, you walk away with a great feeling that I'm working for a great spot, or I've got the wrong person. There are two ways that you can come out of it.
Exactly. Like the person just is in this, these are two more points I wanted to make that finally came back to me. If the person's uncoachable, we might have to part ways. And that's what I was going to say is the language that a lot of modern employees without generation, modern employees are looking for is coaching. They want to be coached. So how do I get better at running the 100 meter, right? How do I get better at football? How do I get better at baseball? We have coaches for so many things. Why can't we see ourselves as a coach to our employees?
Murray, are you teaching your owners how to coach their people?
Yes. role modeling it with the way I coach them. We have monthly meetings. We have individual sessions together. We are using the same principles across the board.
I'm in love with this concept. Teach him how to be a coach. Go ahead. Last one.
The other one is you know, the one-on-one, you know, yes, it's scheduled. It doesn't have to be that formal. A lot of owners that are doing that are finding it off-site in a restaurant doing lunch or doing dinner. It calms it down. It's a social. We're breaking bread together, right? So that's a piece that I have found that has worked well for a lot of people. So there's the coaching piece. There's the breaking bread together piece. So one of my clients this morning, who's just turning 40, got frustrated with an employee, a young employee, and said, I've been working at a shop longer than before you were born. He went, holy mackerel, I'm old. He's 40. And I looked at him and I said, what year were you born? And I said, I started my career the year you were born. So it gets worse. Anyways, yes, it does happen. Now, we need to train our team that we're going to be doing this and the why we're doing it. You don't just wake up one morning and call an employee into the office and do one of these. Because what happened with me was I got inspired to do these. I called my first employee into the office and everybody else was running around going, why did Earl get called into the office? Did he do something wrong? And I'm like, oh, I guess I should have told everybody that I was going to do this. Really important to lay the groundwork, train them on, right? And one of my clients years ago, one of my early coaching clients, when he talked about doing a staff meeting, his hands were shaking. He was that nervous about it. And he said, what would my first agenda item be? I said, your first agenda is why we're doing staff meetings.
I love what we talked about today. I think it's an inspiration for owners out there to rethink, of course, the whole review process. And I love your final point was so, so strong. Here's my takeaway. Our review policy and protocol. Okay. I love the word protocol today. Actually, it's protocols above the process. And so here's our protocol for reviews. I want everyone to know it. Here, I'm going to sit with you quarterly. We're going to call it this. We're going to talk about all these things. Be prepared. Everybody's going to go through it. We're going to have a blast. You're going to teach me. I'm going to teach you. I want to know what's going on in your world, how we can make the business better. I mean, what a great introduction in a meeting for everyone to start realizing that these yearly reviews aren't going to be pain. You know, have a pain streak. I got to take ibuprofen before I go meet with Murray.
Yeah.
It's an ibuprofen day.
It can be. Yeah.
RPMtraining.net. Murray Voth has been a great friend, a great coach in the industry from Canada. I think you probably heard him say process a lot. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to do coffee with Carm and a coach often, because I think our coaches have so much great wisdom to share. And you can sit back, listen on our app, and share it with a friend, and have a blast. Murray Voth, thank you so much for this.
Oh, my pleasure, Carm. Absolute pleasure.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive repair business podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Get your episodic education on the ARPN listening app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. Also, enjoy the podcast on our Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Carm is all for advancing the professional automotive service industry. Until next time.